You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Tuesday, first podcast of the week. Some technical difficulties and a couple of other things led to no Monday podcast. Plus, the Pels got kind of creamed over the weekend at Houston in a game we all expected them to lose, so there wasn't too much to talk about regarding that. And we're not going to recap that one anyway, because we're going to have some fun on the podcast the rest of the season. We kind of have things slowing down a little bit as we just kind of watch the Pelicans jockey for position, which means I can bring on some more guests because we have less to cover. So I'll have a surprise guest, not a surprise guest, it's Aaron Hartigan of Fox Sports Southwest, host of Pelicans Live, the pre and post game show on Fox Sports Southwest, here to talk a little bit of hoops with me as well in the second half, or in the second segment of the podcast. First, I want to talk about Tom Benson, Gail Benson taking over, and everything that went on with Tom Benson's funeral. NFL owner meetings are going on right now, and Ms. Benson is there kind of representing, not even representing, she's the full-fledged owner of the team, so she's doing work there. But she's done some interviews with the media now. We can kind of get a sense of what's going to be going on for the future with this team. So we'll spend some time talking about that in the first segment. And then in the third, preview the upcoming big game tonight against the Portland Trailblazers. Big question, though. Will Damian Lillard play? Hopefully not, but it's not due to injury, which is something we don't want to root for anyway. So I'll fill you guys in why that is in the third segment here. So let's just dive right on into everything in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So Tom Benson's funeral was this past Friday down in Jackson Square, and then a second line that took place through the French Quarter. And during this time, it was almost like a who's who of sports there at the service. You had both current commissioners, Roger Goodell and Adam Silver here, the NFL and NBA respectively. You guys know that. You had the previous commissioners, Paul Tagliabue of the NFL and David Stern of the NBA. And all of them spoke glowingly about Benson. Goodell, supposedly, when he opened the NFL owners' meetings this past weekend, was choked up talking about how important Benson was to the league, the director of the finance committee or the head of the finance committee for a number of years. So this is a guy who's well-loved by his peers, well-respected, well-liked, what have you. Shows you kind of the way he built this organization and the approach he takes. And when you kind of look at that compared to other owners and other situations around the league, it's got to make you feel just pretty good just as, I don't know, as a human on a human level about things, treating people the right way. Now, there's some dark side potentially with the Saints and maybe Pelicans, which I'll talk about probably tomorrow because I think that's an important topic. Well, we've got a lot to cover here, but that's certainly going to come up and something we do need to address. And I'm going to be pretty harsh about it on the team and the franchise as well because of that. But again, that will be for tomorrow. But everyone really spoke glowingly of Benson and kind of how he's had this plan in place for his death, for his passing, to leave the team to Gail and leave more or less things business as usual to have some continuity there. Gail's been going to both the NBA and NFL ownership meetings for years to be able to step in this role, kind of, not on the fly, but have some continuity, like I said, and to really be more prepared and have some kind of on-the-job training for it. And when Gail spoke to the media, you really heard her say, it's going to be business as usual. You still need to come in dressed up, just as the Bensons did, looking sharp, suit and tie, night, whatever clothes you want to wear that are work appropriate, I guess. And that's going to be continuing. She says she has no plans to make changes with Mickey Loomis, with Dennis Lauscha, with really anyone in their respective positions, those two mainly as the lieutenants for the late Tom Benson. It's going to be, as I've been saying, business as usual. She also had some quotes saying that she has no plans to sell the team whatsoever. She said, I don't think there's any other choice. I think that's the only thing you could do is to keep his legacy alive. Where else would you go? I'm from New Orleans. My husband was from New Orleans. We're just like one big family over here. And then she goes on to say, I would never sell it. No. She does say, it's disappointing to think that somebody would think I would mess up his legacy, but I guess everyone has their opinion. It sounds like she's very committed to having the team here. Right now, I don't know the current status of what happens should Gale pass, but frankly, she's not exactly hurting for money, so what does she need to sell the teams for, say, $3 billion or more go for? She's got enough cash, she's living well, there's no need to do that, at least right now. Who knows further down the line? That definitely might come up a question, as succession for this has kind of been everything, called everything into question because you don't know what's going to happen next. I would assume a trust. Again, this is for further down the line. But it sounds like there's not going to be really any changes, which is important because Scott Kushner spoke to former NBA commissioner, and this is where I've been trying to get to with everything, David Stern. And Stern kind of told the story about how Tom Benson was their number one target to buy the team because the NBA really was committed to keeping the then Hornets here in New Orleans. And while there was maybe other entertaining offers from Schwest down here in New Orleans to keep them here, there were a number of people chomping at the bit to get the team and try and relocate them and move them. But Stern didn't want to do that. And it was his job to really recruit Tom Benson to buy the team. And it was Benson's job, as he said, to get the best price for them, which he kind of did when they sold for $338. Now they kind of estimate the franchise at over $1 billion. It's almost three times as much. There's a really interesting quote in this article from Scott Kushner over at the New Orleans Advocate, and you should read it. And it says, according to Stern, he said, and I quote, "I used to tease Tom that it's good Gale is here because his first love is always the Saints. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I feel she always treated the Pelicans as an equal, and she was involved in all of those decisions. And it meant a lot for us at the league office to know that she had such a strong voice in the organization. Obviously, she's now in position to implement it further." We've heard this story before, that Gale was a real big force behind Tom Benson buying the then Hornets, the New Orleans basketball franchise, and keeping them here. She felt this was really important. And as you kind of see her transitioning into the ownership role, there's no reason to think whatsoever, despite what anyone says, that she's going to do otherwise. There really aren't taxes on this. And if there are, and I don't quite know, we could maybe bring in an estate lawyer on the podcast to kind of look at this. But overall, there's no real question that, A, this has been planned for over the past 8 or so years is really what it sounds like. And then especially kicked into high gear once Benson did get rid of the former heirs in Rita and his daughter and all of that, and son, I guess, too. So there's no need whatsoever to worry. People are going to spout this out. It is a talking point, and you've got to respect that around the league as a whole. People are unsure. They also don't know the nitty-gritty details about this as much. But it does sound like Gale does not look at the Pelicans as kind of the red-headed stepchild, to use that kind of analogy with her phrase, whatever you want, idiom, maybe? That's probably it. And that she cares just as much. And you saw it. She addressed the team basically one day after the death of Tom Benson and says right now it's going to be Mickey Loomis and Dennis Lauscher running the team. Gale's been, you know, enormously supportive of both the purchase of the team and the business of the team. That's a quote from David Stern. He goes, "So I think Tom did a really great thing by buying it and a better thing by assuring its stability. Nothing's going to change. Things are good. This team isn't moving anywhere." And I think that's basically what everyone needed to hear. Now that kind of the dust has settled on some of this, people are going to talk. They already have talked. But there's nothing too substantiated other than people just speculating. And those speculating likely don't know as much as some others. So be careful who you pay attention to. Don't cry Chicken Little. And don't worry about it too much because this team is here. They're in playoff contention. So things are going to be okay in New Orleans. So I say playoff contention. That means you should check out LockedOnPelicans.com, where we're starting to do previews from John Nathan Raby, looking at all the teams the Pelicans might face in the first round and breaking down some of those opponents, some of those matchups one by one, so you can kind of get a little bit of a playoff primer. So make sure you go over and read Locked On Pelicans today. And joining me now on Locked On Pelicans, I've got Aaron Hartigan from Fox Sports Southwest, the host of Pelicans Live, the pre- and post-game show for your New Orleans Pelicans. Aaron, thanks for joining me.
I am also a lover of coffee until it's appropriate to drink wine, and I'm honored that you had me on.
No, I've been meaning to do this for a while.
I'm happy to be here.
So I'm really happy because you've got some great insight. Whenever you're in town, we're chatting and dropping knowledge on me in kind of the tunnels of the Smoothie King Center. So I'm just going to kind of get right to it. You know, since
you make it sound like a dark secret, like high, like an alley that we're meeting in. It's the dark tunnels of the Smoothie King Center.
We had that incident with the Clippers and Rockets earlier in the Staples Center, where all of a sudden the Rockets were like trying to get into the Clippers locker room through like back tunnels or something. Yeah, who knows what goes on in these arenas?
Right. Yeah, do we have those? I don't know if we even have a secret tunnel at the Smoothie King Center. And if we do, I would like to discover this at some point. And when I do, we can bring it live to the podcast. That's our plan. No, it's great. It's fun. Running into you in the hallways, and you know, we always get to exchange some fun stories. So we're hoping to bring those to this podcast, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have the better ones because of who you're seated next to again on Pelicans Live. I mean, being Nancy Lieberman, who's, you know, a Hall of Famer, you've got Del Harris there, you got Antonio Daniels. All of these guys know. I think I'm pretty smart when it comes to the NBA. I'll be unmodest here for a moment, but I've got nothing on
you
that.
You totally
group.
Are. Brag away. You totally are.
Well, I've got nothing on that group.
The experience that they have. I mean, I could sit there and listen to them for hours, which is why I am proposing like a roundtable sort of show at some point this year, and hopefully maybe we can get it going right before the playoffs. But I'd love to get Nancy, Dell, and AD plus David Wesley together for like a big, you know, an hour long roundtable, because I could just literally sit there and listen to them share stories and give their bold takes on different players and how the game's evolved. And the game has evolved, players have evolved, personalities have evolved in this game. And so it's always interesting to hear. And I call Dell a veteran. I would never call him, it's not an old perspective, it's a veteran perspective is what I've learned to call it on the show.
Gotta be careful, right?
Right, I do. I have to toe the line. But, you know, I mean, he coached in a very different time, and today's players are a bit different. So, no, it's so much fun getting to listen to them. And you know, like I said, I'd love to bring those stories here to the podcast, and then hopefully get you on the show as well, because we need some normalcy at times. We get a little carried away, so we need someone to keep us sane. So we'd love to get you on.
We'll do it. We'll have some fun. So since the DeMarcus Cousins injury, you know, what's been kind of the perspective on the team? Because I think most people thought this team was going to be left for dead, but what have you seen? What's everyone else seen kind of that's changed with this franchise so far?
Well, what's interesting is we had the whole MVP conversation the other night when Pels were playing the Rockets, because so many seem to believe James Harden has had this thing locked up for months, right? Well, little did the NBA know that Anthony Davis would lose his twin tower in DeMarcus Cousins. And while the national media sat there and said, oh, it was fun while it lasted, nice try, Pels, give him a little... you know, give him a little, you know, hit on the arm, you know, we'll see you next season type thing. AD goes on to shoulder this team to a 10-game win streak, like matching a franchise longest and putting this team in top four in the playoffs. You know, I mean, it's like, here's this moment where, yeah, we kind of kissed it goodbye, and AD has showed us almost another version of himself. He has kind of shown, and we've talked about this on the show, is he's kind of shown that this toughness we haven't seen in him before. He's playing through things. He's not resting. You know, he's refusing, in fact, to rest. In fact, like I think the other night in the fourth quarter in Houston, when Gentry took him and Drew out, they both wanted to go back in, even though they were down like 15, 20 points, you know, because AD is just, and I think we credit DeMarcus for that. I know Nancy Lieberman has coached Boogie Cousins in Sacramento, and she said, you know, I think Boogie's kind of instilled that toughness in AD. And I think it might have started when Boogie made the comment in LA when AD wanted to come out at half after an injury, you know, hey, give me your Achilles, I'll go out there. You know, like, I'm sitting here, I would give anything to be out there, and I can't be. So if you're not going to go back out, I will, you know. And I think that was kind of that kick in the you know what to AD. And so, and here's the thing, we were talking about this on the show the other night. It's not just him that's shouldered the Pels to this playoff push. I mean, think of the other guys alongside. Drew's having a career year. You know, the floor general, Rajon Rondo, when he's out there, his facilitating is one of the best in the league. I mean, and he's the only one on the team with a championship ring. He's been there, done that. He brings that sort of experience to the floor. Nikola Mirotic, second best trade in franchise history to the Boogie one last season. I mean, it is a collective effort. It's not better basketball without Boogie. It's just different basketball without Boogie. It's a faster pace. They have depth. They have a bench finally. And we've kind of created our own March Madness, haven't we?
Yeah,
this is our own little bit.
Well, it's been crazy. I think most people would look at this and just be like, what happened? How'd they pull this off? But you make a really good point, and this is something I've kind of mentioned here. It's a different mentality for this team. How many times in the past would we have seen them get down by 15 points at half and then just give up in the final two frames? And now against, Milwaukee, you've done it against the Spurs. A number of teams, this team never really thinks they're out of a game right now.
Never. And do you agree, do you kind of see what we're saying? Like, and Nancy made the point about how he's a different AD ever since DeMarcus has come aboard. He kind of is playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And maybe a part of that is just maturity. You know, he's maturing through the game. You know, he's what is he, 25? No, man, he's an old man now. He's 25. He's so old and ancient and wise now. No, but it's amazing. It's amazing what he's done. Just the age of 25, but I just think everyone is playing their best ball right now, and Darius Miller hit shot when he needs to, and Etuan Moore, Ian Clark, he's come on strong recently. I was like, we didn't even know there was an Ian Clark on board, then he started playing like this. And how about Shaq Diallo, man? I am totally on the Diallo wagon. Dell Harris has been since day one. And as soon as they signed this guy, Dell was like, they need to get him reps. They need to get him minutes. You know, last season when they struggled, it's like, get him in. Get him minutes now when he can. And he's forgotten him this year, and he's made him count. And the thing I think I love most about him, Jake, is that he has so much fun out there. He's a
huge fan favorite in the Smoothie King Center now, just for the Wakanda Forever celebration, the raising the roof. Just sometimes you need
raising
that guy
of the roof, man,
who brings that energy and everything to the team. And you've seen it in certain games where he gets out on the court with Anthony Davis and he's flying around, and Davis has to raise his energy level to try and go out there and match the Diallo's, and that saved the Pelicans in one or two games.
Absolutely. You have to have that energy on the floor. Like, that's what he brings to the table. And you have to have some of that. Like, you have to just have that genuine love and fun with the game. Like, right? Like, you just have to, and it's contagious. And we were talking about this the other night. He should be a junior on this Kansas team right now that's in the Final Four. A junior. And here he is. You know, I mean, you forget how young some of these guys are. We're so proud to, like, see him having kind of come on and make the most of his minutes this year. So, yeah, it's like, hey, Pels have a bench. Like, I don't even know if they had – I mean, this is a better bench than they had in 2015 when they last made the playoffs. And, you know, I just think, they're playing a collective, faster-paced basketball. They finally have, like, the shooting. Now, I will say this. We need Rondo on the floor, like, when we can get him. I know he's, from what I've read, he's going to be out Tuesday night against Portland. And, you know, he was obviously out the last two Houston meetings. But the reason why is, and Antonio Daniels has mentioned this on the show, it's not only that we, yes, need his facilitating and his statistical numbers that he brings to the floor, but when Rondo is off the floor, it takes everyone else out of their element. Now you bring Drew to the one, and you take Drew away from what he's doing so well at the two this year. And we don't have necessarily the depth at point guard that we'd like. So after Drew, Liggins is seeing more time. Ian Clark's getting the start at the one behind Drew in that second unit. You know, so it takes away from what this team does well. And so I'm hoping Rondo, I'm hoping the wrist injury isn't as serious as some say. And I'm hoping he can get back out there because, man, when you have Rondo, Drew, Moore or Miller, Mirotic, AD, when you have that lineup out there, and again, the depth, you go to the bench, you go into the Diallo's, when Ian Clark's playing well, you know, that's the lineup, man. But we got to have our quarterback. Rondo's our quarterback, and we got to have him out there, you know?
When he's engaged and trying hard, which for the most part we've seen him this year, particularly over the past handful of games, there's one or two games he's mailed in, let's be honest here, but he's been vitally important to the team at times. And I've been making jokes earlier in the year that now we know Rondo isn't good anymore. And I don't use that joke graphic that I had made anymore because it's not true.
Wait, which joke graphic? I think I missed this one.
I had the should you get emotionally invested in the Pelicans meter, and there were like a number of things. One of them was I know who Ian Clark is for the most invested into the team, and one of them was like I know Rajon Rondo isn't good anymore. It culminated with we're getting championship tattoos soon, but like I can't use that anymore because everyone knows who Ian Clark is at this point. Rondo's playing at a very high level, which has been very key for this Pelicans team consistently winning without DeMarcus Cousins. So like this team's just proven me wrong, which is a good thing. I like that. I'd much rather have these guys be good than bad, and I can't just make my same joke that I've been using.
You know what, though? I mean, it's okay. The Rondo joke, like, it's funny because living in Dallas, of course, Mavs fans would love that one, right? Like, Mavs, he maybe didn't have the best experience here in Dallas. Can I say that, like, this team, Rondo has found a place that he's happy. Like, Rondo's happy in New Orleans. Boogie's happy in New Orleans. They really haven't been happy elsewhere outside of, like, Boston, of course, for Rondo. But, you know, you look at this team and you're like, this might be the closest I've ever seen this group of guys. And I think AD may be able to attest to that. But it's like these guys genuinely love being around one another. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, Rondo, you know, Boogie recruited Rondo because they have a history and they're, you know, they're buddies. And so they get along and Boogie and AD immediately connected. And I think having that leadership at the top, getting along, has trickled down to the rest of the team. And it's like, you know, Ashley Amos, who's with the team, you know, she mentioned, you know, she travels a lot with the guys and she's like, you know, they do things together and they're, you know, they go to dinners together and they go to movies together. And that has never happened before in this organization. You know, I mean, in the past it, you know, there was a bit of a divide. And in fact, I will tell you this and you can laugh, but there was a photo that symbolized just how tight this team is. It was the one they took in L.A. when Boogie was there. He was on the sidelines for the Clippers game. And they all took a team photo afterward. And I looked at that photo. I was like, this might be the first time I've ever seen such a photo, like, on the road with this team. Like, they never do that. They never take team photos and post it. And Ashley mentioned that Rondo, in fact, came to her after the game and was like, hey, we want to get a team pick. Would you mind taking one? And she was like, what? Like, this is, you know, this is new territory for this team. And I think that plays a lot, you know, that plays into it. You saw the Golden State and Cleveland, like when they were playing championship ball, they were as tight as you could get. It was a brotherhood. And I think we're finally seeing that here in New Orleans as well. And it's refreshing and it's what makes it more fun. So, I mean, things are clicking, man. And if they get the tiebreaker of Portland, Clippers, and San Antonio, I mean, you're looking at home floor advantage in the playoffs, and that place is going to be rocking. I mean, can you imagine Smoothie King Center with home floor advantage? Unreal.
Especially because those are going to likely be a very tight first round series between, especially if they're up there in that 3 or 4 seed, it's going to be close whoever they're going to end up playing, and you need any little advantage, an edge that you can kind of get. And, you know, sometimes having that mentality of us against the world, which is a bit what it seems to be, is definitely a good thing. And I think that's a testament to everything that Dell Demps has built there right now. And it's working finally. And all the work Alvin Gentry's gotten done with this team to really get them to where they are, especially for both those guys having gotten a lot of flack at times.
Amen. And I'll leave you this too. How about the six games and 8 nights, technically, if you want to count the last Houston road trip, 6 games and 8 nights plus the one, you know, the lone day off that Friday, having to lay your longtime owner to rest and say your final goodbye. I mean, what a physically, mentally, and emotionally trying week that was for this group. And that is where they showed us who they are. Granted, the two Houston, I mean, best team in the league for a reason. Why? So we kind of like, we throw those to the side. But going 4-2, like those 4 wins in between those Houston losses were critical. And AD mentioned this, Antonio Daniels mentioned this on our show, that, you know, when you got that back-to-back-to-back sweep, that was huge because there were teams that you're in the race with that weren't even playing any of those nights. And you just went out and got 3 wins on them. You know, there were teams that were off in that stretch and you just went out. So here we were staring down that week, loathing like what was ahead. Like,
oh, everyone was dreading this.
You know, you're talking about like, this isn't fair. They got to play a back-to-back-to-back and they got to, you know, and they sweep it first time since like the Sonics did in 79, right? Plus, you know, after that, it was like, they really didn't have time to rest. They had that, you know, they had one of the most emotional, days of this organization's, tenure, that, putting Mr. Benson to rest, and it's like, I asked AD, I was like, what does that do to a team? And he was like, you know what? That brings a team together, going through what that entire week was can bond a team. And I think that's what that week did for this group. And I'm looking forward to see what they do in the final eight, because if they can make it through that, man, this could be a cakewalk for, you know what I mean? I mean, if they can make it through that, they can do it, man. And I think they've proven to themselves that they can. But I mean, I know from your perspective covering this team, I mean, that was a week unlike any other for this group.
No, we had never seen anything like this. And the fact that they got through it in the way they did, not necessarily easy games, though some easy games in there, but they had to battle and they overcame kind of that adversity, which, again, we haven't really seen this team over the past number of years ever do. And even in that the playoff season they had here and the last year under Monty Williams, they never really had to fight through kind of any adversity like they have this season, which I think, to your point, makes you feel really good about what they can kind of accomplish over these past eight games. And then with the right playoff matchup, is maybe the way to put it, what they can do in the playoffs should things kind of break their way a little bit. So Aaron, I got to end this, and I know I want to bring you on probably again next week, because like we said in the beginning, we could probably talk for hours with this sort of thing. But thank you so much for joining. Also, let everyone know the times for Pelicans Live, so they make sure they're watching you, getting all the insight they can.
Yes, don't miss it tonight. 6:30, Pelicans Live pregame on Fox Sports New Orleans. Del Harris will be in the chair, and he has a great story on Terry Stotts. Del Harris, I'll give you a little hint. Del Harris drafted Terry Stotts, and Stotts is in his running for coach of the year. He'll tell you why tonight on Pelicans Live. But as you can see, I am not short-winded, so I apologize for taking all your time here, Jake. But I mean, this is a blast. I'm a basketball nut, and I know you are as well, so we could talk for hours. So I look forward to doing this more with you, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now that things slow down, we can get guests on again. I'm so excited. So again, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. We'll see you soon.
So before I quickly preview tonight's huge game against the Portland Trailblazers, I want to tell you about some of the things we're going to talk about on the podcast this week, because I got some really interesting topics for you. We're going to look at the Pelicans in clutch time. They've been really, really good this year. We need to look at it. Aaron kind of touched on why, that mentality with it, but I'll share some of the numbers with you. I'm also going to make the case for Anthony Davis being the defensive player of the year. That's probably going to come in tomorrow's podcast. And then I'm also going to make the case on why Drew Holiday should be first team all defense, not defensive player of the year, but first team all defense, maybe with an outside shot at being defensive player of the year. So we're going to kind of cover a lot of ground this week, a lot of important topics since it's a little bit slower. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On Pelicans. So the New Orleans Pelicans take on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight in the Smoothie King Center in a game that has a lot of implications for the Western Conference playoff race standings, whatever you want to call them. The Pelicans at 43-31 are just 2.5 games back of the Portland Trail Blazers, who sit somewhat comfortably in the 3 seed. The Pelicans are at 5, 2.5 games back. So if you win this one, it claws you one back into the race of everything for sure. Definitely can help the Pelicans with their seeding if they want to get home court advantage. It also has big tiebreaker implications, things we've touched on a lot over the past couple of weeks. The Pelicans actually have a 2-1 season series against the Trailblazers, and they can win outright the tiebreaker tonight and not have to go to a second or third tiebreaker, which then comes division and conference record, of which the Pelicans have a much worse record than the Blazers do. So likely a Blazers win puts the season series at 2-2 and gives them the tiebreaker most likely. So in both of the victories for the Pelicans, really in all three of the games, but particularly those two victories, the Pelicans have done a good job defending Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum for the Portland Trailblazers. Neither of them has had a very good shooting game against the Pelicans. One of them does okay from three, just okay, and then the other one's usually atrocious. Damian Lillard had a 2-for-11 night. CJ McCollum was then 4-for-10, so that's good, but not ideal. You also have other games where, let me pull them up, I just lost them in front of me here. Lillard was 4-for-11, McCollum was 1-of-6, And then in another game, they've done a good job of holding him, where Lillard was 1 for 8 while McCollum was 4 of 5. Basically, if you can avoid both these two guards in that Portland backcourt shooting well from deep, you have a very good chance to try and beat this team. Portland's not the same team of old. They play with a slower pace. They're very good offensively. They're also even better defensively, which is not usually how they've been in years past. And this is a team that ran off that huge winning streak, 12 or 13 games earlier in the year, to really vault them up to 3. However, the reason they're so good defensively is they defend the rim really well, particularly behind Jusuf Nurkić for them as their rim protector. You still got Anthony Davis, and he's had trouble playing Anthony Davis in the limited time that they've played this year, and DeMarcus Cousins. So I think New Orleans can feel really good about their chances going into this one, knowing that you kind of have that trump card in AD and Nurkić. As good of a rim protector as he is, isn't going to be able to do much against the much better Anthony Davis. If DeMarcus Cousins was playing in this game, I'd feel a little bit better. Obviously, that's a stupid thing to say, isn't it? It's more because Portland does give up a lot of trips to the free throw line to opponents. They're okay at fouling, but they commit a lot of shooting fouls, which sends guys to the line. So you can potentially take advantage of that if you have players willing to do so. The Pelicans are going to need to do it because this team's going to try and funnel you from the three-point line into Nurkić at the rim. So these guards aren't going to get these open three-point looks that we've been seeing. They also haven't been shooting well for the Pels anyway. So you've got to take advantage on those drives. Don't let Nurkić just swat it away or force you to alter your shot. You've got to get some contact, get to the line. Something we've seen the Pelicans not do a very good job of recently. Pels do need to be stout defensively, at least on the interior. I'm not overly worried about defensive rebounding with this team, because when you look at it, they've never had, and we talked about this in an episode of the pod, they've never had a good defensive rebounding percentage really at all this year. However, they do a good job defending the paint in terms of rim protection, so you do get these second chance opportunities for opponents, but they're not converting them into second chance points. Well, Portland is going to try and make you do work, as they have they're a top 10 offensive rebounding team. So this is going to be a battle. No doubt about that. There's a reason that Portland's up there in the 3 spot. They're playing well on both sides of the ball. Terry Stotts has got to be in the conversation for Coach of the Year alongside Dwayne Casey and maybe Nate McMillan over in Indiana, along with Alvin Gentry, who should get, you know, some votes, maybe those token third or fourth place votes for everything. The potential good news for the Pelicans in this one, and I teased it in the beginning, is Damian Lillard's expecting the birth of a child and has a private plane on standby ready to take him away should the mother, I don't know if it's wife or not, go into labor. So hopefully, maybe they have a child and we can all celebrate and be really, really happy for Damian Lillard. We don't want to root for injuries or anything like that, but I don't see why we can't root for him to have his kid come out, be healthy and happy, and have him be there to witness the birth of his child or be there soon after. I think that would be a great thing. Celebrate that miracle of life, Damian Lillard. If he's not in the game, the Pelicans' path to victory, of course, gets very, very significantly easier. Simple as that. That would be big. And it might come down to this, but the Pelicans have done a good job kind of corralling this backcourt. You've got Rondo listed as questionable. You've got Mirotić listed as questionable. If Rondo can play, they can kind of harass these guards in McCollum and Lillard on the defensive side of the ball. I think you can see the Pelicans get this victory. Just be sound. Do what you've been doing. Get out of the Smoothie King Center with a victory. Get a little bit more rest till you take on the Cavs on Friday. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Big thank you to my guest, Aaron Hartigan. I've got at least one more guest this week, maybe another one in there too, and we'll have some more next week as well. So make sure you stay tuned. Again, we're going to make the case for Anthony Davis as Defensive Player of the Year. Why Drew Holiday at least has to be on first team all defense. We're going to talk about the situation with the Saints. I think that's important to look at too, because there is some overlap here with the Pelicans, and it does need to be touched on. We want to look at the Pelicans in the clutch as well, where they've been excellent, and you've seen them kind of gut out these victories. So a lot to cover in this week worth of Locked On Pelicans, so make sure you stay tuned every single day to know what's going on with your favorite team. So thank you for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow to recap the game.